Welcome to Impact You. Conversations helping you create your leadership ripple effect. Let the learning begin.
Welcome to Impact You. Thank you for joining us today. I have pal and colleague Tony Bodo with Tony Bodo International with us in the studio today, and we are on part three of our series on the customer experience. Welcome, Tony.
Good morning, Kayla.
Great to have you with us. You know, we've had some great conversations over the last few weeks around this concept of the customer experience. So could you tell our listeners a little bit more about Tony Bodo International?
Absolutely. Tony Bodo International is a consulting firm that focuses on helping companies understand the experience their customers are having and really how to design and improve that experience over time. We focus primarily on Fortune 1000 companies, but we also work with those fast-growing startups who have a target to be in the Fortune 1000 in the next few years. We essentially give the executives of these companies x-ray vision into the hearts and minds of their customers. We really help them understand the hidden patterns that are in the language of the customer feedback, as well as the hidden patterns in the buying behaviors, as an example. And we bring all of this data together so that they have a really good understanding of what the customers feel and what they're thinking and how they're behaving.
So in our first segment, we defined what a customer experience is and its impact on when a leader or a business owner truly understands those hidden messages, the language they're telling you, it impacts how you run your business. It could change a product or service that you provide. It could even impact your entire business strategy, perhaps. And then we talked about in segment two of our series, what kind of information could you be getting from your customer? How do you gather that data? And what do you do with the information once you begin to understand all of these different messages that are floating around out there? So we laid the foundation, really. Part one and part two, and all of these are building blocks. And if you're tuning in today for this series and part three, I would encourage you, take a few moments and go back and listen to conversations one and two. It's going to give you a really nice framework for the conversation that we're going to have today. And today we pull the employees into the mix. So we focused for the last couple of conversations around, for leaders, how do you gather the information? What do you do with it? How do you think about it? How do you make sense of all of this? So in our conversation today, you have a message, you have a strategy, you have made some decisions about how are we going to respond and perhaps act differently with our customers. So Tony, in your experience, where do you begin? Now we're ready to start talking about this strategy with our employees. So where do you begin of helping them understand maybe a completely different shift in what we're going to do in the business? How do you get started?
Well, the first thing is really to have a very clear vision. And if we go back to segment one, we talked about the exercise, the 100 experiences exercise, and essentially going and identifying what it is you would love your customers to experience. Because once you know that, and once you can write a clear vision around that, your entire company, all of the employees, even your vendors, can then support that vision and have a very clear perspective on what they're trying to accomplish, by what time frame, and who they serve and how they serve them, and what type of emotions are they evoking in the customer. And that's critical, because once you understand that, then you can begin to train people on how to evoke those emotions and how we're going to serve them, and everything else follows from that vision. But most companies, even Fortune 100 companies, do not have a clear vision of the experiences they want their customers to have, and that's why they fail. That's why there's inconsistencies over and over in their customer experiences.
So it steps back to at the leadership team for that business owner, there's a very clear picture, very clear vision of the experience we want our customers to have, what we want them to feel, what we want them to think. So that's a part of that strategy message. So if I'm an employee in one of these companies, is it possible all I'm hearing is we just need better customer service?
It's very possible you're hearing that. And what we really want to do is we want to be able to communicate the message in a way that the employee understands the power they have in this particular relationship. There's been several research studies over the last few years, and what they've come out with is that over 50% of the customer's loyalty is dependent upon the relationship the employee and the customer have. And that's in a customer facing situation, like in a retail store or in a call center or contact center. Now, that goes up and down depending on what type of company you're in and what type of relationship you have. If it's a like an account relationship, or if it's a I call in and I get a representative, different representative every time. But the core of that is over 50%. The loyalty of the company is related to that experience that the customer and the employee have with one another in that moment of connection. The importance of that is if the employee truly understands that they can move this customer, they understand that they have the ability to influence the outcomes of the company. Now, we even take it a step further. You'll often find people who are back office, like the designers of the website as an example, or the people that are writing the marketing campaigns. They don't often think of themselves as touching the customer, but the reality is they're creating something that a customer is going to use. And it's the proxy for an employee. It's a self-service channel or something of that nature. The employee who's designing that website has got to think exactly as the employee. And probably even more powerful, they have to think more clearly about it because they don't have the chance to have a conversation and correct themselves on a website or in an email. It's got to be so clear how you want to evoke that emotion. You got to take them through this emotional journey. And so being able to help them understand the power of that as employees will help them buy into it more. So they've got to buy into the vision first, and then you've got to help them understand why this vision exists and how they are the ones that contribute. It's not about the executives at this point. It's about the people who are touching the customers.
So it's much more and really much more intense than we just want you to be friendlier. We want you to speak quicker when a customer walks through the door, or we want to make sure that, you know, that we receive zero complaints in a month of interactions with our customers. You're really beginning to delve into it is the relationship between the employee and the customer. So what connection do I have with them when they're here? More than a smile, which is, let's just be honest, that's the starting point, certainly. Maybe that's where, you know, for some of our leaders listening today, that's where we start. Let's start at a service level, but we're really talking about taking that to a much deeper level and understanding, really, of employees and their role with how they interact with customers.
Absolutely. So one of my mentors uses this example, and I think this is relevant to the words you just used to describe the possibility of what could be happening in a leader's mind. If you go to an architect and you told this architect, build me a happy home, the architect has absolutely no idea what happy home means to you. They wouldn't know how to design it. If you hand it, you know, the architect drew something up, handed it over to the contractor and said, this is what a happy home looks like. The contractor wouldn't know what to build. So the reality is you have to define what it means using, you know, terms like we want our customers to be happy. Great. But what does that mean? You know, really get to the core of what that means and how I typically see it. A lot of people use metrics. I think metrics are important. So a happy customer returns once a month to make a purchase, right? That's a form of loyalty, but loyalty and happiness are very closely related in this case. I like to go even further than that. It's not just about the behaviors of, you know, the number of purchases and all of that, because that's company centric. It goes beyond that and it says, okay, what language are they using to describe us? And I'll use my company as an example because I've never told my clients I wanted this, but I hold the intention, and this is where the power of intention comes into place. I hold the intention that I will help my clients think differently about their business. Every one of my clients, when I do a good job, come back to me and said, you have helped us to think differently about this challenge or think differently about this problem. You've helped us think at a different level. Now, I never tell them that that's what I want to do, but that is my intention. And so I bring everything I can, and I know what it means to think differently. I see the aha moment, the light bulb going on, and I know I have to persevere and persist in educating them until I see the light bulb go on. So for me, one of my customer experience points is the aha moment. That's what I call it, right? When
the
my customers get it.
Exactly.
Yes. Exactly. And when that happens, I know I've seen it. And so you have to figure out what does it mean for your customers? What is that moment? And if we go back to segment one again, we talked about how we're not just talking about a satisfaction and a transaction. We're talking about what's success mean in their life and what significance do they want to have in their life. And what legacy do they want to leave behind? And that's really, if you understand those types of things, you begin to understand, you know, the mission that this person has or this group of customers have in their life. And how do I serve that better? Once you learn that, you can then develop an experience around that.
So we're going to transition a bit in our thinking, because now we're focused on the employee and equipping them, whether that's teaching, training, helping them shift in their mindset. We're helping them create those aha moments. Well, at Organization Impact, our primary focus is helping organizations strengthen that employee experience, equipping them to take care of their customers, whomever it might be. So, of course, we do that through our leadership development series, our leadership academies, our professional development coaching and workshops that we do. So we focus on what is your competitive advantage and how do we strengthen that? So your world, Tony, in large part with Tony Bodo International, is on that customer experience. We're transitioning that now to the employee. There's definitely a linkage between those two.
Absolutely.
So is it simply a matter of what you're describing with us today? Do we just need to teach our employees? Is that all it is? Or is there much more to the employee experience around this concept so that we really can make a difference to the customers?
There is much more, and I love the way you phrased that. So let me walk through as an example. Like typically, you'll have the orientation training or something like that, right? And you know, you may even get into some role playing. That's all very good. I'm not saying don't do that. That's the fundamental. It's the baseline. You've got to do that. But if you really want your customers to engage the way you want them to, you've done your research. You understand what it means to be a happy customer. You understand how to get there. Now you're taking new employees in, or maybe even existing employees, and retraining them. It's not about talking to them. They have to have an experience. And so as an example, I worked with a company many years ago, and their front, it was a hotel company, their front desk agents and their reservation staff, so the people that were picking up the phone and making reservations, they were doing a very poor job of upselling the premium rooms. And the hotel was thinking, well, we need to get better salespeople in here. And I said, that's not your problem. Your problem, it comes down to the fact that you want people who were hired for service to do a sales job. And if you talk to these people, there are two things that are going through their mind, two possibilities. One is they see themselves as a service individual, and to them, sales is dirty. And there are a number of people out there. You would not believe the number of people out there who believe sales is dirty. And they don't see sales as service. And so we have to work with that concept. Number two, a lot of these folks are being paid, let's say $10, $12, $13 an hour, and you're asking them to do a $40 a night upgrade. Well, if they were asked to do that $40 a night upgrade, that's worth 3 to 4 hours of their daily wages. So
completely unrelatable.
Exactly. They're saying, I would never pay this. I would never pay this because this is a half a day. They're thinking I have to work for 4 hours. So they're relating to that experience of work as opposed to the experience of the enjoyment. And so what we did was we took them through a series of exercises and effectively had them experience, because I think one or two out of 150 people had actually stayed in the hotel and in those upgraded rooms especially. And so we took them through an experience of simply imagining what it would be like to bring your significant other and stay for a weekend, or to be there for a conference, or whatever the situation that they created in their mind was. And they shared this for about 5 minutes with a partner. Then they switched roles, and the partner actually talked about the experience that they had, all imaginary. None of them had actually stayed in these rooms. But what happened is immediately after this exercise, the volunteers who spoke up, they went from initially talking about the features, you know, it's got this type of bed and it's got this view and it's got this and it's this and, you know, all the feature related things, into the experience it had. And they were flowing with emotion. It was just pouring through them. And everyone in the room was astonished because they could see it. And that's what you need to create, is this connection with the experience that the customer is going to have if they have a good experience. And so you have you train your staff, not by teaching them only, you know, by word of mouth, or even modeling them by with videos or with role plays. Those are all good, but you've got to take it a step further, and you've got to give them an experience of what it's like, at least imaginally, if not in reality. And so an example, I work with financial service companies, insurance companies quite a bit. And one of the things that I've run into is that in the claims department, most people have not had a claim, you know, home or auto claim, whatever else. And a lot of these agents, guess what? They don't even own a home, much less many of the millennials today don't own a car. So how in the world can they relate to the payments every month, much less getting a claim, the risk of their auto insurance or home insurance going up, the premium is going up, how are they going to pay for that? All of these things, they've never experienced this reality before. They haven't necessarily even imagined it. They just hear the emotion on the other side of the phone call. And because they hear it but don't have a connection to it, they become dull. They have to dull their senses to get through the day because call centers are a very depressing place to work if you don't have the right emotional engagement there. And so being able to help your employees really experience what it's like to be the customer in that situation will help them develop the empathy. You don't have to work on developing empathy. It's going to show up because they now understand from an experiential perspective. So that would be one of the key ways that I would go about helping employees really get it. You've done your research. You understand how to move your customers. Now you help your employees move to be in the same space as your customer.
Regardless of what your product or service is.
Exactly.
Right? You know, so many examples are going through my head. I travel a good bit. We go out and work with our clients. And I'm thinking of a server whose face lights up when she describes the special or her favorite dish at a restaurant. That there's an emotional connection. I'm thinking about the agent at a airline desk when your flight's been delayed and they say, no problem, you can make that connection in the other airport. And they've probably never been in that other airport to know what that might look like. Or even, you know, take any of the products and services. I mean, every leader listening to our conversation has a product or service that their organization sells. So it's really stepping back to say, what is that experience? We want our customers, even if it's selling office supplies or if it's selling, you know, what we might look at as go, well, there's not a sense tied to a ream of paper or, you know, or an airline ticket or, you know, really we've got to step back and think much bigger and broader about this. So, Tony, here's where my question goes. I want you to think of chicken or egg. So you talked about a lot around customer experience, actually. We talked about how do we prepare and equip our employees. So is there a chicken and egg relationship here? Which comes first for a leader? Do you focus on the customer experience? Do you focus on the employee experience? I mean, where do you really begin with this, or can you do both simultaneously?
That is a great question. And I know a lot of people in this space will say it's a chicken and egg. I don't believe that. And this just comes from my experience of working with people. And I say that, number one, the customer's mindset and what they believe is the primary determinant of their experience. And I don't want that to fall short. I want to be able to emphasize that. Experiences only happen in a person's mind. So the customer's experience happens in the customer's mind. No matter what you do in the environment around them, it happens in the customer's mind.
So priority one.
Priority one, exactly. Now, just to give you a bit of insight, there are over a million elements of stimulus, if you will, in any given second that are bombarding our senses. So as a customer, you may have, you know, created this great environment for me, this great website, whatever it is, but I'm getting pelted with over a million different elements of stimulus in a given second from all of my senses. And my internal organs and everything else processing all through my brain. And I have to decide about 120 of those can actually get through to my conscious awareness. And so I have a part of my brain that decides what's important. And I've programmed that by my belief system. So if I believe that your company is not there to serve me, and your company has gone out of its way to harm me in some way, I've built this belief for whatever reason, programming, what my parents said, or my prior experience with you, then I am going to look for the ways in which that's going to come through my reticular activating system. That's the actual part of the brain, but it's going to flow through that and it's going to alert me when I see something like that which I believe. So I will reinforce my beliefs. It takes someone with an open mind to turn that down and say, okay, I recognize that, but where's the good? Right? Now, from a customer experience perspective, the customer's mindset and the customer's belief system triggers primarily what they're going to experience. However, let's bring this to the employee side. The employee's mindset does the exact same thing for them. If they believe that your customers are no good, trying to get away with something, whatever else, that is exactly how they'll treat them. And even if their words don't say it, the emotional tone, the energy, the way in which they engage is going to communicate to the customer exactly that feeling. It's going to repel your customers because of that. And so we really want to get into a deeper understanding of what it is your employees believe. And if you understand what your customers are thinking, we've talked about that for two whole segments now, but if you really get into an understanding, what do your employees believe about the customer? What do your employees believe about your business? And most importantly, what do your employees believe about you? As a leader, are your employees believing that you're there to support them, or you're just trying to get them on and off the calls as fast as possible? Do the employees believe that you really love the customer and are there to support the customer, or you're just trying to get as many sales as possible? And this can be the hardest part for leaders to look at, because it takes humility and it takes a critical eye to themselves of looking at their potential flaws and their belief systems. And frankly, this is where most people, we're not even aware of those subconscious beliefs that drive our own behaviors. So we need to listen to our employees to say, this is what I see. This is how I perceive, you know, what you think of the customer. And this is where that full circle, kind of a 360 view. I've done the customer feedback research. Now I need to ask my employees, what do you think of the customers? And what do you think of me? How do you think I think of the customers from my behavior? And you've got to clarify that, because they're going to emulate whatever you model. And that's going to be their belief system as well.
So it really isn't, it's not necessarily a chicken and egg, but both of them exist.
Exactly.
At the end of the day. And, you know, we've spent time, Tony, in our conversation of, you know, we have to develop a very inquisitive spirit, ask lots of questions, but be very open to what we hear or what we may find out. I think in what you've shared with us, there's so much application and so much potential for really having some positive impact to driving the customer experience, while preparing and equipping your employees in their experience as well. The two work together hand in hand. And if you only have one without the other, you're not going to get the results that you're hoping for. And it will be disappointment. And that is sure. We will not get where we want to go. So as we wrap up today, you know, your world, your expertise, your success is helping employers, helping businesses drive that customer experience. So are there more resources out there for folks? You know, if they want to learn more about just this whole customer experience concept, what would you recommend for them? You know, this is our leader saying, I want more. Where could they go to learn more about this idea?
Absolutely. Well, they can definitely go to my website, because I do have a lot of resources there, my blog posts, and we're continually expanding the resources we have available. But if they want to go out and, let's say, read some books or listen to some audios as they're driving into work in the morning, I would recommend a couple of different books, and I'll explain what they're really good for. The Experience Economy by Joseph Pine. It details this economic shift that we've been going through it up for about the last 10 or 12 years. He wrote it back in maybe 2000 or 2001, but he was at the very cusp, the edge of this whole experience economy. And the book is phenomenal at describing about the experience economy and really what is coming, right? And again, we may be 10 or 12 or 15 years into it, but the reality is we're still at the very beginning of this whole thing. If you think about the information age started back in the 1950s and 60s, you know, and we still say we're in the information. It's going to happen for a while. The experience economy is going to continue to unfold, and much more rapidly as time progresses. Another book that I think is a phenomenal resource, and this really helps you. We talked a little bit in I think the previous session about behavioral economics. Really, how does emotion in a customer, or even in an employee for that matter, affect decision making? And a great book about that is called Priceless by William Poundstone. And he really talks about how economic decisions are made because of emotion, and how fear or enjoyment can trigger different types of decisions, and how to even word your marketing copy. He gives examples of that, how it can trigger different conversion rates because of the emotion that's communicated. Another great resource is Before Happiness. It's a book by Sean Accor, and he is a phenomenal speaker. He's done some TED Talks as well, I believe. But he is a psychologist by training and by education and all that. And what he has done, he's really studied the subject of happiness. And what he has found over and over again, as many of the researchers in this field, is that happiness leads to success. Success does not lead to happiness. There's a causal relationship. Happiness leads to success. And so he goes out and works with companies to help their employees understand how to be happy. And as a result, the companies see far more success. And he worked a lot in the financial industry as the crash was happening and really helped some of those banks and financial institutions turn the results around because he was able to help them find something to be happy about. And then as a result, their success improved. I think the last resource I'd recommend is actually my upcoming book, The Customer Within, and I'm going to really talk about the emotion, the impact, how to use it, and how it will impact executives and leaders as well as the employees.
Wonderful, Tony. We'll stay tuned for when that book is going to be ready. And for the three different resources that you gave our listeners in these books, we'll make sure that the links to those are included in the podcast so you can get more information about that there as well. Tony, thank you so much. This has been a very intriguing and enlightening topic for me. I love talking about this stuff, as you well know. But certainly to our listeners today, we've given a lot of emphasis and focus on helping you think about your business in a different way, not only in what you do with your customers, but also how do you prepare and help your employees do the same. So thank you so much for spending time with us and sharing your expertise with our listeners.
Thank you very much, Kayla. I've had a lot of fun doing this. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for listening, guys. Impact You, our purpose is helping you increase your leadership ripple effect. Thanks for tuning in.